कृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतनाथ श्रीवासी गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण
हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
So thank you for inviting me here. We had a nice program last night in Lakshmi. Wonderful feast. I ate too much though. So, the world of duality. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that although there's this non-dual, but there's still variety. If I get that point, I'm just reading. That this is inconceivable to us at the present moment. How the spiritual world can be non-dual, at the same time as variety. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, Chintabheda Veda Tattva. It's inconceivable, but we're hearing from the authority, so why not accept? This is the best way to learn some subject matter. We hear from one who is in knowledge. So all the great saints and sadhus in the days gone by and today also are telling us, yes, there is a platform. Krishna also speaks in the Bhagavad Gita that beyond this manifest, there is another nature which is eternal, which is not doesn't go into dissolution. It's not finished like this material world is wrapped up, and then it comes out again. So this is our faith. It's not blind faith. It's based on ample evidence. Mahajana, Yena Katasapanta, the great souls have all accepted this, even from other traditions, like Lord Jesus Christ said, what profit the man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So we're all pointing in that direction. Let's get out of this world of duality. And then we can also see by our own experience that this is a place of suffering. There's something wrong. We don't want to have so much trouble. But the troubles are coming automatically. Who can deny it? And just like we go to the ocean, the waves are coming, one after the other. Can anyone check? No, it's not possible. Everyone is trying. Well, we'll stop this problem. We'll stop this problem. And that way we'll hope to live peacefully. But it's not possible. Dukkhalayam Shashvatam is certified by Krishna that there's only suffering. The illusion that you're not suffering is maya. It won't be able to last. Of course, we all hanker for that. Ananda, that bliss. Ananda maya vyasya. We're full of joy by nature. So, naturally, we're looking for that happiness. But we're looking in the wrong place. Therefore, we have to turn our face to the spiritual side. And what does that mean, practically? It means that we have to, first of all, become humble. Admit that we don't know. That we're ready to hear. The Prabhupada was saying how there's four classes of people, you know, the innocent and the devotees and the atheists and the Lord in the temple. So one devotee asked, well, how do we know if somebody's innocent? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, if they're ready to hear submissively. This means that they're innocent. So we want to be an innocent devotee. So what do we have to do then? We simply have to hear. Not very difficult. There's so much source of knowledge is there. So why can't we just lend a submissive ear? And agree. This is all that's required. Of course, it doesn't mean that we should become blind followers. I mean, we agree because we're convinced. We can question. That's part of it, right? Paripatena. What is it?
Paripashen.
Means question.
Yeah.
So there has to be an intelligent question. It's not just blind follow. But we should lend a submissive ear without challenging and with respect. And then if we have a genuine question, inquiry, then we must put it forward. This is Tushyanti Charamantya. This is expands the Krishna Katha. It opens it up, the storehouse. Like Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj preached. They were going on talking for days and days without interruption. And sometimes Maharaj preached would ask such a wonderful question that Sukadeva Goswami would practically faint it just by the question. So this is our duty also to give good questions. I was just reading, Prabhupada was, a girl was asking him about this psychiatry, going to therapy and so on. And then Prabhupada explained from the Christian conscious point of view that actually, he was saying that actually everybody's crazy. In the material world, everyone's crazy. It's just a matter of degree. Why is it we're crazy? Because we don't depend on the Lord. We don't depend fully on the Lord. So, and then after this question, probably explains it. And then he said, thank you, that's a very good question. Any more questions like that? In other words, this is part of it. We have to also be intelligent to ask the good questions. Not that we just, you know, become dumb and think that we'll understand. Because we're afraid sometimes to express our doubts. But this is the process. Otherwise, how will the doubts be removed? So there has to be some exchange. This is the whole science. Not by some mystical power, like Prabhupada used to ridicule the Vivekananda Ramakrishna, somehow Ramakrishna gave, by his touch, he gave all his spiritual energy, and then he felt depleted. No, that's not the way the spiritual life is exchanged. It's exchanged by questions and answers. And therefore we have knowledge. We become convinced, not just by some sentiment. Prabhupada used to ridicule. Of course, sentiment is there. There's so much sentiment. We see Lord Chaitanya has so much sentiment that the water is shooting from his eyes like a syringe and wetting people 10 feet away. So how much sentiment must be there? We saw it in Srila Prabhupada too. So much sentiment. But it's not sentimental. In other words, it's sentiment directed to the Lord. Otherwise, he ridicules that sentiment and fanaticism. He says, if we don't have knowledge, then religion becomes either a sentimental thing or a fanatical thing. Like the Muslims, they become fanatical. So many of them. We see that they're trying to talk about God, but they're fanatical because they don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge that God's in everyone's heart, first of all. And then how will God be pleased if you're killing innocent people? Simple point they don't understand. So they don't have the knowledge. And on the other side, he gave the example of the women in Germany who are praying, oh, please, God, going to the church very, very regularly, very seriously, please, God, let my husband, let my son, let my father come back from the war. But they didn't come back. They were killed. And so after the war, the church was empty. Because it was based on sentiment. Robert said they didn't consult God before they declared their nonsense war. So both things have to be removed. No fanaticism, no sentiment, sentimental. Sentiment is there, but that has to be directed to the Lord and His representative. Then we won't be contaminated by that. Otherwise, because sentiment, what is it? Sentiment is something, some affection that we have. But if we give our affection to a temporary thing, then we become fooled. Then we become cheated. Therefore, we have to give our affection to the eternal. Then we'll get out of this duality. So Uttara is in that position. She's coming to the right source. She's also feeling some sentiment. This is natural for a woman especially. She wants to protect her child. Not like in the modern day where they're happy to perform abortion. They call it, what do they call it? Reproductive rights. We have a right to kill our child. So it wasn't like that. No, she was very concerned. That was the nature has made a woman like that. And she should be very concerned. She should have. And then the husband is there to protect. The woman should have unconditional love for the children. But the father's love is a little different. His love is a guiding love. And so the child feels very protected and guided at the same time. So Uttara was having that feeling. And because she was a devotee of the Lord, naturally she was taking shelter of the Lord. Coming forward and with full, you can say, surrender and dependency. Again, she was dependent on the Lord. And therefore, the Lord was obliged. This is how we can come out of the craziness of this material world. If we really take shelter of the Lord, we really depend on the Lord, then there won't be any more anxiety. We're crazy in this world because we're in anxiety. We want to be happy, but we're not happy. So naturally, that will make anybody crazy. So we want to come out of that craziness, then we have to fully depend on the Lord. This is the real simple solution. But how to do that? Of course, that requires our sincerity, first of all. We can't trick Krishna. So sincere. Prabhupada was asked that once, well, how do we become sincere? And Prabhupada said, no, there's no technique. You become sincere by being sincere. It's not a thing that you exercise and build up. You have to really feel that you want to be dependent on the Lord. That you don't want to compete with the Lord anymore. You want to give up your rivalry and agree to be controlled by Him, to be used by Him, to be even exploited by Him. This is the mood. of the book of the gopis. They don't mind coming in front of Krishna, just with their clothes, their garments stolen, and just with their hands folded in front of them. on the spiritual side, this is how we have to present ourselves to Krishna, without any reservation. That yes, Krishna, this is who I am. You can see me naked. We have to present ourselves to Krishna in that way. Not that we're keeping some, well, I'm going to keep this 10% in case Krishna doesn't really reciprocate with me, or Krishna isn't really there. In case if this Krishna consciousness doesn't work out, I can always fall back on this. No, everything we have to bring. And then Krishna will be happy to reciprocate. As we surrender to Him, He reciprocates accordingly. So what is checking us from surrendering? Our own false ego. Prabhupada just once asked that question. But what is the greatest obstacle in our spiritual life? And Prabhupada said, you are yourself. We, our mind and our false ego become our greatest enemy. Therefore, the beginning of yoga, how to control the mind, we read in the sixth chapter. And if we can actually control the mind, becomes our friend, then already we're successful. Such an advanced stage we can have just by controlling our mind. But of course, we say just by our truth that the mind is like a hurricane. How can we control it? It doesn't seem possible. But by this process, especially this chanting process, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maha Mantra, Mantra, mind, and Tra means deliverance from the mind. So if we can go deeply into this chanting, once I was in front of Prabhupada, I was waiting to give a massage, and he was finishing some correspondence outside. I was chanting my beads. I looked and he said, "You listen when you chant?" And so, of course, the first thing I was defensive in my mind, you know, I said, "Of course I listen, otherwise, why am I doing it?" But before I could articulate, Prabhupada read my mind. He said, "I know you listen, but you have to listen very carefully." He said, "This chanting is the whole essence of our philosophy." So, what is the problem? We all have ears. Why can't we hear? Why can't we hear? Rupa Goswami is praying for millions of ears to hear these two syllables, Krishna, and millions of tongues. So this is our challenge, how to hear the holy name. Krishna's there, everything. Not only Krishna, but the whole, all his entourage, his associates, everything is included in those two syllables. If we can go deeply into that meditation of hearing the name, then we'll have all success. The mind will become our friend. The mind will no longer trouble us. So this is the process. We don't have to add anything or subtract anything. It's perfect. But we have to take it properly. We see that in the past there have been so many so-called devotees and leaders who have fallen away, and we think, well, we may become discouraged. How can I? They were more advanced than me. But they didn't take it. I mean, that's okay. They were advanced. But you have to continue to take the process. It's ahoitakiya prityati, uninterrupted and unmotivated. So there was some motivation, therefore they interrupted. But that doesn't mean the process is wrong. The process is perfect. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so many great saint persons in the past have attained perfection by following this process. So we can also attain perfection. We shouldn't be discouraged that others didn't follow or that others didn't finish the process. And we know also that there's no loss. Even if they didn't finish, still, that credit is there with them on the spiritual side. And when again they're inspired to take up the process, then they begin from that level. So there's no cause of lamentation or, disillusionment. We should remain convinced that this is the most bona fide process, especially in the Kali Yuga. There's no other process. Harinama, 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 Evkeva. Kalula, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Three times, Nasteva. Nasteva means no other way. Only by this Harinam. So, why can't we have that faith? What is checking us? From Lord Chaitanya's side, from the spiritual side, from Srila Prabhupada's side, there's no... they're ready to reciprocate with us. The Holy Name is potent. It has a potency. Regardless of whether we believe it or not, the potency is there. So, just take it in that way, with a real sincerity and conviction, and then Krishna will reciprocate. This is his his business, you can say. He's Bhakti Vatsala.
We read an article years ago by Obi-Wan Kapoor, came back to Gandhi, but he was talking about the scientific laws, you know, the law of gravity and so many laws are there.
But they can all be transcended or negated in some way. You know, yogis can levitate and mystics can do so. But there's one law that nobody can check. That is that Krishna reciprocates out of love. There's nothing can, because even Krishna himself is controlled by devotional service. So who can check our devotional service? That's on our side. It's like Prahlad. There's so many attempts were made to check his devotional service in various ways by the big ministers and his teachers and his father. Everyone was trying to check his devotional service. But because he wanted to be a devotee, nobody could check it. It all rests in our... It's like by desire we've come to the material world. So by desire we can go back. So who can check our desire? That's something that's in our hand. The nature of the soul, it has desire. So nobody can interfere with that. If we desire, who can stop us from desiring? How is it possible? By some effort from outside. No, it's not possible. All we have to do is desire. Yes, I want Krishna. This is my first business. I want to become a good servant of Krishna. And then, who can check that? It's not possible. So no, sometimes Prabhupada used to say, so what is the problem? What is the problem? There's no problem. Only problem is, we don't want Krishna.
Okay, any comments? Why we don't want Krishna? Anybody? Why we don't want Krishna? Krishna's so attractive, he's playing the flute. Well, and we can see Krishna's representative, like last night we were speaking to Srila Prabhupada, because you all have remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. He was so attractive. He was the nicest person. He was a really our well-wisher. I mean, really, really, really our well-wisher. So, why wouldn't we be attracted to him? And he's a representative of Krishna. So we may have to say Krishna is far away, but we can meet the devotees. They're also as good as Krishna, in the sense that they're giving Krishna, even more kind of Krishna. Okay, I'll read the verse again. As soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start the dwaka, he saw Uttara Hari throws him in fear. Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there's no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. So this is our position. We're all in the clutches of death, sooner or later. And only Krishna can protect us. So if we really believe that, then we'll be protected. But because we're not sure, therefore we take shelter of other things. We don't have that full faith. So the whole process, from the beginning, Atal, Shraddha, to the end, Prema, Vachanakriya, everything, it talks about how the faith can be increased. It's just simply a degree. The beginning is a little faith, and the end of the faith, Bhakti says, Srila Bhakti Sadhguru used to give the example of sugarcane juice. It comes as a liquid, and then at the very end, when you process it, it becomes rock candy. So, how do we increase our faith? This should be our consideration. And, how? Well, first of all, we should associate with those who are more faithful. Therefore, Prabhupada took so much trouble to create this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which gave them a headache by managing, I see practically. Now I'm not going to GBC meetings, I don't have a headache. It's a headache. So, managing. Why he took this trouble to manage? Because he wanted to give innocent people a chance to develop their faith in association, League of Devotees. That was his original idea. So then, if innocent people can come, then they can mix with people who have more faith, and then their faith will increase. Simple conception. Therefore, from our side, we should seek out those who are more faithful and hear from them, associate with them, serve with them, serve them. And in this way, our faith will increase. This is the method. We serve the Vaishnavas, first business. We have to please the Vaishnavas, not that we jump over and think I can directly serve Krishna. No. Service of the Vaishnavas is the root and the creeper, or the root and of devotion, right? The beginning. And then we see, yes, this Bhaktivinoda says, better to be in the house of a Vaishnava than to be Brahma. Better to be a dog in the house of the Vaishnava than to be a Brahma averse to Krishna. So, serving the Vaishnavas is very nice. If we could begin to appreciate it, just like serving Srila Prabhupada. So, how is it so sweet? Because Prabhupada would always reciprocate. I remember once I was giving massage, and I used to give massage every day at 11 o'clock in the morning. We were in John Lennon's estate in Tittenhurst Court in London. And so one morning, you know, it was a nice day, the sun was shining, which is rare in England. And I felt, you know, inspired to do my service. I said, today I'm going to give such a good massage. I was thinking like that in my mind. So I went in and I gave a massage and gave all my energy, you know, in that service. It took about 45 minutes, excuse me. And then when I finished, Prabhupada, he just reciprocated with just one small gesture, but it was clear that he was acknowledging that I was really threw myself into the service. And he just by patting me on the head. And then it felt so great, you know, it felt so worthwhile. It wasn't like, you know, you work for some karmic boss and you decide you really work hard, or even your father or your spouse. Or there's always some feeling, well, they didn't really appreciate what I was, you know, trying to do, or how much I put out or something. So that we become cynical, right? In this world, there's always the cheating, and somebody's going to cheat us. If we really surrender to them, they'll cheat us. But with Prabhupada, that wasn't it. There was no fear like that. If we just really surrendered to him, then he would reciprocate. He would be there personally and reciprocate. That was my experience. And so my faith developed that there must be God. Otherwise, where's this person getting his reciprocation? Prabhupada was, you know, alone, and he didn't have a wife, he didn't have a lot of money in the early days. And how was he so enlivened? What was keeping him so enthusiastic, like a child, and so much energy, and at the same time, so sober and intelligent and learned and all these qualities? How was it possible without somebody reciprocating him? And that someone, of course, he was telling us, was his spiritual master in Krishna. It's like sometime I was alone in Hong Kong. By circumstance, the devotee who was there before had to leave, and I found myself alone maintaining a temple in Hong Kong. What a place. I was going out every day selling books to the tourists. And so the Brahmana, the Prabhupada was supposed to come, that's why I had to stay there. You know, we had a temple there. So the Brahmana came, Prabhupada couldn't come. So Brahmana came, he was Prabhupada's secretary. So he sent a telegram to Prabhupada, Srivakram Swami is alone, send help immediately. Because Prabhupada was in India.
Yeah.
So after about 10 days, I got a letter from Prabhupada. Brahmananda says, you're alone. What is this alone? Vaishnava is never alone. He said, just like when I came to your country, apparently I was alone. But I was always feeling the presence of my spiritual master. Of course, I was feeling alone. But this is our philosophy. We're never alone. Krishna's always there. Prabhupada's always there. The spiritual master is ready to reciprocate with us. And we can be happy. Okay, any further comments? We have 1 or 2 minutes. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.